Blog Talk Radio.
I met my old lover on the street last night. She seemed so glad to see me. I just smiled, and we talked about some old times, and we drank ourselves some beer. Still crazy after all these years. Still crazy after all these years. I'm not the kind of man to socialize. I seem to lean on old familiar ways, and I ain't no fool for the songs that whisper in my ears. Still crazy after all these years. Whoa, still crazy after all these years.
Aloha! Welcome to the Shrine of the Sacred Cock. We broadcast live every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Key West Grind, currently hosted by our friends at KeyWestSportsNet.com from Key West, Florida, where the cock run free. The Shrine of the Sacred Cock, a weekly wormhole into unknown dimensions. As a tool to make you look more sophisticated, yeah, even smarter, and in time for the weekend. Also, the best music in the known universe, the Shrine of the Sacred Cock, making you look better since 2011. Turn your stereo to 11. The wormhole opens.
Black folks can't never have.
Walking down the avenue,
crazy,
The situation with religious intolerance has acquired nasty levels. It is important to react to every affront to life. I will read a letter titled In Defense of Religious Satire, a Pastafarian Response to the Charlie Hebdo Terror Attack, written by Andrea Jonathan Robert of the Pasta Foundation. As the world continues to reel from the vicious terrorist attack that left 12 dead at the French satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo, for some in the West, the inevitable finger-pointing and blame game has already begun. In one corner, right-wing blowhards attempt to smear the entire Muslim faith of over 1 billion people with the heinous acts of two fanatics. While in another corner, politically correct ninnies minimize the horrible killing of these writers and cartoonists by referencing the paper's history of xenophobia, racism, sexism, and homophobia, and claiming the publication somehow provoked the violence from Islamic extremists. Both of these reactions are an affront to civil society. We cannot blame the whole of the followers of Islam for the actions of a group of marginalized individuals. Painting with this broad brush point of view is a major contributor to the ease with which an entire society can label Muslims as the other. It's this mentality that helps support military imperialism and the wholesale torture and killing of people in far-off countries. The second mindset, one that would explain away the barbaric nature of these killings by limiting freedom of speech, takes away one of our most potent defenses against fanaticism on all sides of the spectrum, humor and satire. The writers at Charlie Hebdo were known for pulling punches and as such had often been accused of being in poor taste. But in the paper's defense, they took on all facets of society. No faith, code, or creed, whether you be Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, or what have you, has spared lampooning by the magazine. To put this violent raid in perspective, it would be like the offices of South Park were attacked and Trey Parker and Matt Stone were killed by a couple of disaffected and extremist Mormons. It was Voltaire who said, "I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it." It was that right, and the right to live a life free from violence and oppression, that policeman Ahmed Merabet was defending when he was gunned down by the terrorist who stormed the offices of Charlie Hebdo. It just so happens that he was a Muslim of Algerian descent, the same nationality, in fact, of the terror suspects themselves. But at the moment of his death, Ahmed was first and foremost a citizen of the French Republic, defending its values of liberty, equality, and fraternity. He was not Charlie, as the hashtag maintains, but he stood up for the right of those cartoonists to poke fun at the absurdities of his religion. For equality to truly exist in a civilized society, the ability to practice one's faith in accordance with the law and generally accepted standards of decency must be protected. But what is not guaranteed is that you can practice your religion free from criticism or ridicule. The beauty of the First Amendment to the United States Constitution is that while it prohibits the government from establishing a state religion and thus creating a theocracy, in the same breath, it allows the citizenry to hold any belief they see fit by protecting freedom of speech and the free flow of ideas. However, the flip side to protecting your right to worship and believe in what you want is also protecting the right of others to call your beliefs ridiculous. The freedom to worship does not trump the freedom to call any belief system to account. As Pastafarians and members of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, we have a unique perspective to bring to this global conversation. Ours is a religion
born in part out of Saturn. In 2005, when it was announced that the Kansas State School Board, in all of its wisdom, wanted to include the Judeo-Christian creation myth of intelligent design alongside evolution in the science textbooks, our prophet, Bobby Henderson, thought this was a perfect time to make a satirical point. Regardless whether or not you believe that Adam and Eve rode dinosaurs to Sunday school, or hold the equally absurd idea that some process of evolution naturally selected for genetic variations in biological organisms that helped them survive their environment to reproduce and pass on these genes, all those with the inside scoop know it was really the flying spaghetti monster who created the world and everything in it. It's really okay you didn't know. We don't brag very much about our deity. Our salvation does not require that we convert you. However, the flying spaghetti monster works in mysterious ways, and maybe evolution, this seemingly logical and scientific explanation of the development of life on Earth, makes sense because he wills it to be this way. Prove that one way or the other with your empirical science. But what mattered most in this specific instance in Kansas was that the Christians were trying to bogart their faith shoutouts in the school science books. Simply from a marketing point of view, we couldn't let them hog all the textbook glory. Our offer to be included was really just to prove the point that those science books were doing pretty good before the Christians tried to co-brand their message in them. But if you're going to open that door, you can't discriminate. Our real long-term plan was to see if we could co-opt the school lunch menu. Because if our goal is to impact young minds, what 13-year-old does their science homework anyway? But the fact of the matter is that as Pastafarians, we could care less if we are featured in the science textbooks at all. Our offer was made purely in jest and done to mock those know-it-all Christians. I mean, you don't see the Hindus pushing and shoving with Vishnu's four arms to have their creation myth included next to social studies, do you? The flying spaghetti monster is not so vain that he cares one way or another whether we pitiful mortals believe in his noodliness. And besides, all the work it takes to keep up with the new textbook editions that come out every year, well, as a religion, we're not motivated. Frankly, we're kind of lazy. So in truth, as Pastafarians, while our religious beliefs are sincerely held, our actions can be satirical in the effort to prove a larger point. Our religion is not a parody of other faiths. However, we are not above using satire to point out how nonsensical other religions can be at times. Satire is intended to do more than just entertain. It tries to improve humanity and its institutions. One would think this is a worthy goal of any religion. That's why we have I'd rather you didn't versus the Ten Commandments. They say more about how mankind should view and treat religion rather than how religion views humanity. It was the prophet Bobby Henderson himself who said, "We believe It's a dangerous thing when religion is seen as above criticism or humor. It's the moral obligation of forward-thinking people everywhere to mock ridiculousness when they see it. And it is plain to see that in some instances, the rapid rate of globalism has outpaced some of our more backward cultural assumptions. Does your worldview believe genital mutilation is a good thing? Does your faith find it acceptable to stone to death adulterers? Then those fragments of your belief system are worthy of being mocked, lest they continue to perpetuate in the world and destroy the positive aspects of your faith. Certainly, we Pastafarians are not above ridicule. We don't care if people call us drunken pirates and slatternly wenches. And certainly, some of our table manners could use improvement. But to steal a line, if you will, from an earlier holy man of faith, J.R. Bob Dobbs of the Church of the Subgenius, to those humorless bastards who would kill to make a point, fuck 'em if they can take a joke.
If she wants them out of the way, crazy she calls me. Sure, I'm crazy, crazy in love, I'd say. I say I'll go through fire, and I'll go through fire as she wants it, so it will be. Calls me. Sure, I'm crazy, crazy in love, you'll see. Like the wind that shakes the bough, she moves me with a smile. The difficult I'll do right now. The impossible will take a little while. I say I'll care forever, and I'll mean forever, if I have to hold up the sky. Crazy, she calls me. Sure, I'm crazy, crazy in love. Yeah.
The Flying Spaghetti Monster was first described in a satirical open letter written by Bobby Henderson in 2005 to protest the Kansas State Board of Education decision to permit teaching intelligent design as an alternative to evolution in public school science classes. In that letter, Henderson satirized creationists by professing his belief that whenever a scientist carbon dates an object, a supernatural creator that closely resembles spaghetti and meatballs is there changing the results with his noodly appendage. Henderson argued that his beliefs were just as valid as intelligent design, and called for equal time in science classrooms alongside intelligent design and evolution. After Henderson published the letter on his website, the Flying Spaghetti Monster rapidly became an internet phenomenon and a symbol of opposition to the teaching of intelligent design in public schools. Pastafarian tenets, generally satires of creationism, are presented both on Henderson's Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster website, where he is described as prophet, and in the Gospel of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, written by Henderson in 2006. The central belief is that an invisible and undetectable flying spaghetti monster created the universe. Pirates are revered as the original Pastafarians. Henderson asserts that a decline in the number of pirates over the years is the cause of global warming. The Flying Spaghetti Monster community congregates at Henderson's website to share ideas about the Flying Spaghetti Monster and crafts representing images of it, as well as to discuss sightings of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
It's so hard to find my way back home. My body's roaming all alone. Feels like a real bad dream. I try so hard to break free, yeah. And even though I try, something else has got a hold.
Thank you.
hungry for answers. We do not have them. What we have instead are steaming bowls of awesome sauce and noodles, plenty of delicious, delicious noodles. And don't forget the beer, the delicious, delicious beer. We are people for the advancement of spaghetti tolerance and appreciation. Our mission at the Pasta Foundation is to advocate for worldwide understanding and acceptance of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. All praise be upon him. We join our voices with the chorus of other world religions demanding equality and the freedom to practice our faith and traditions, most of which involve pirates, beer, midget strippers, and delicious, delicious noodles. Together, we will carry the sacred word of his noodliness out into the world. We are your neighbors. We are your friends. We are Pastafarians. Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, while having existed in secrecy for hundreds of years, only recently came into the mainstream in May 2005. With millions, if not thousands, of devout worshippers, the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster is widely considered a legitimate religion, even by its opponents, mostly fundamentalist Christians, who have accepted that our God has larger balls than theirs. Some claim that the Church is purely a thought experiment, satire, illustrating that intelligent design is not science, but rather a pseudoscience manufactured by Christians to push creationism into public school. These people are mistaken. The Church of Flying Spaghetti Monster is real, totally legit, and backed by hard science. Anything that comes across as humor or satire is purely coincidental. Pastafarianism is a real religion. Most of us do not believe a religion. Christianity, Islam, Pastafarianism requires literal belief in order to provide spiritual enlightenment. That is, we can be part of a community without becoming indoctrinated. There are many levels of belief. By design, the only dogma allowed in the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster is the rejection of dogma. That is, there are no strict rules and regulations. There are no rote rituals and prayers and other nonsense. Every member has a say in what this church is and what it becomes. To outsiders, it makes us hard to define. But here are some general things that can be said about our beliefs. We believe pirates, the original Pastafarians, were peaceful explorers, and it was due to Christian misinformation that they have an image of outcast criminals today. We are fond of beer. Every Friday is a religious holiday. We do not take ourselves too seriously. We embrace contradictions, though in that we are hardly unique. People ask, is this a joke? It is not a joke. Elements of our religion are often described as satire, and there are many members who do not literally believe our scripture. But this isn't unusual in religion. It's only more obvious in the case of our particular religion. A lot of Christians, for example, don't believe the Bible is literally true. But that doesn't mean they aren't true Christians. If you say Pastafarians must believe in a literal flying spaghetti monster to be true believers, then you can make a similar argument for Christians. There is a lot of outlandish stuff in the Bible that rational Christians choose to ignore. We do the same with our scripture. This is intentional. A lot of Pastafarians seem to be anti-religion and or atheist. Why is this? We are not anti-religion. This is not an atheist's club. Anyone and everyone is welcome to join our church, including current members of other religions. In addition to the atheists, agnostics, and freethinkers who have joined us, We have a number of Christian and Muslim and Hindu and Buddhists members, and I would love to have more. Now to the religious, you are welcome here. Let me make this clear. We are not anti-religion. We are anti-crazy nonsense done in the name of religion. There is a big difference. Our ideal is to scrutinize ideas and actions, but ignore general labels. Some Pastafarians honestly believe in the flying spaghetti monster, and some see it as satire. I would just make the point that satire is an honest, legitimate basis for religion. Satire relies on truth to be effective. If it's a joke, it's a joke. Where to understand the punchline, you must be conscious of underlying truth. Compare our religion to those that are built on lies. I am not talking necessarily about mainstream religions, which themselves are often full of mysticism and ad hoc reasoning. But think of cults, of churches where the leaders are scamming their followers out of money. These are groups where the followers fully believe. Are these churches legitimate since they have many true believers? Or can we agree that religion is as much about community as any shared faith? By any rational metric, Pastafarians are as legitimate a religious group as any. Arguably more so, since we are honest and rational.
Yeah.
people have many questions. For example, what does the Flying Spaghetti Monster think of same-sex marriage? The Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster has no judgment on same-sex marriage, for or against. That is to say, all are welcome into the loving embrace of his noodly appendage. And there are many gay or bisexual members in this church. Or, what do you think in 1,000 years will the Flying Spaghetti Monster be a mainstream religion? This is something to think about constantly and to keep us up at night. I sometimes wonder what the Church of Scientology, or let's say the Mormon Church, looked like 5 years after Joseph Smith transcribed the scriptures out of the hat with the seer stones. What worries me is that right now I can be pretty sure there aren't a lot of dogmatic, naughty, Flying Spaghetti Monster people around. But what about in 20 years? What about in 50 years? What about when someone figures out a way to make money out of this and turns it into some New Age spiritual enlightenment thing? There are billions of Christians who are crazy serious about their religion, who don't necessarily believe the things in the Bible actually happen. So, yes, I do worry where Flying Spaghetti Monster will go. My hope is it continues to be a positive force in the world. We will need to keep an eye on it for sure. How do Pastafarians believe our world was created? We believe the Flying Spaghetti Monster created the world much as it exists today, but for reasons unknown made it appear that the universe is billions of years old instead of thousands, and that life evolved into its current state rather than created in its current form. Every time a researcher carries out an experiment that appears to confirm one of these scientific theories supporting an old Earth and evolution, we can be sure that the Flying Spaghetti Monster is there, modifying the data with his noodly appendage. We don't know why he does this, but we believe he does. That is our faith. To what extent do Pastafarians need evidence to support their beliefs? What is considered valid evidence? And why are some religious ideas lacking evidence believed more widely than others? Why is Christianity more widely accepted than Pastafarianism? For many religions, acceptance is due to the time it has been around and due to the number of people who already follow it. For potential followers, it is often less a consideration of evidence and more a judgment that the collective group of followers is better informed. That millions or billions of people already follow this religion is a strong social proof that there is something to it. The larger the group and the longer it has been around, the more pronounced the effect. But non-believers are overreaching when they dismiss the phenomenon of religion as wrong and useless because it so often lacks a basis in evidence. The fact that millions of people get something positive out of a religion even if it's based in superstition, does mean something. But that's not to say it's true, only that it has value. For many people, religion is about being part of a community and being part of something bigger and more important than themselves. Non-believers would be better off criticizing only on the negative, damaging parts of religion, and being less judgmental about the idea of religion in general. Non-believers get hung up asking for evidence when really we should be looking at why does religion thrive despite evidence. We should be pushing the idea that faith is not equivalent to evidence-based reasoning without insisting that it's inferior, only that they are different ways of seeing the world, and that the problems happen when these worlds' views clash. Pastafarianism is different than most religions in that we explicitly make the point that our scripture need not be lived literally. In other religions, this is known but not often said out loud. Many Christians don't take the Bible literally, but won't volunteer this. Pastafarian scripture has some outlandish and sometimes contradictory components. And unlike the scripture of mainstream religion, these pieces were intentional and obvious, and our congregation is aware of this. But what I find interesting is that when people object to the idea of Pastafarianism, it's never with our scripture or ideas they suspect to be tongue-in-cheek. They object to the most intentional, honest, real components of our religion. It's the times when we break from satire that we are criticized. The times when I say something tolerant or hopeful about Christians that I'm called names. I am convinced there is a large number of people who need to believe that ours is not a legitimate religion because it can exist in their worldview. Well, I can only say this to those people. It is only because of the insistence that we are not legitimate that there was motivation to be a legitimate religion. You see, our religion, like Christianity and other mainstream religions, is based not on a foundation of evidence, but of community. The Pastafarian Church was built and its legitimacy formed by people tired of being disenfranchised for thinking rationally. We have every right to exist and form a religious community. That many of us don't literally believe our own superstitions or in the existence of our own God is evidence that we are thinking. Today is the birthday of my good friends Patricia Wallis and Randy Brennan. I hope that in this very special day you spend it among friends, family, and loved ones. Kuling kulang! And this has been our program for this weekend. Please tune in next Friday, like every Friday, at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another chapter in the Shrine of the Sacred Cock Sega. We have been broadcasting live from the Conk Republic, last free country in the world, exclusively on Key West Grind, by courtesy of KeyWestSportsNet.com.
where you can also download our catalog of great shows. Please tune in again next week for another bunch of crazy ideas to bounce with people during the weekend and the greatest music in the world. Until then, bye-bye. Pow. Peace. Mir. Heppinde. Heiwa. Frieden. Santi. Hukoi. Paz. Please join us next week. Same cock channel, same cock time. From a town on the edge. Good night and good hunting. It's time to prepare for the apocalypse.